Well, let me see how to start this off. First is should be the date. It's the 10th and the 7th of 08. It's about 10 minutes after 11. I can't usually talk about much till late at night when everything's quieted down and whatever. But let me see if this thing's recorded. Stand by. Yes, I'm dedicating this tape to the Norzos Volunteer Fire Department. My name is Palmer Donahoe, born and raised Madison County. The longest period I was gone, I guess, is during the war of 51 and 52 in Korea. I was a heavy machine gunner in the Marine Corps, and I survived the war. Two Purple Hearts, I was wounded twice. That was recorded. It wasn't the three times it wasn't recorded. I'm no hero. I was put up for the Bronze Star and the Silver Star. I refused both. The heroes are probably still buried over there somewhere in Korea. I'm one that was lucky enough to come back. But I'm dedicating this tape to the Norzos Volunteer Fire Department. I was asked recently, being one of the last three surviving the ones that started the Norzos Volunteer Fire Department. I was asked if I would make a tape of how all this come about. Yes, it's easy in one way and it's hard in another. I made one fire department meeting here recently when the fire department came out to my place. And everybody and their brother come out to help to put out a grass fire that started when we were beating weeds and a spark from the tractor started the fire. It's kind of touching. When I wasn't able to fight the fire, I didn't even try. It got out of hand immediately. We called the fire department. Immediately, they come from all directions. It got out of control, and they was running out of water. They called the Normandy Fire Department, and they come to the Lord's help. There were so many people out there that this is rather touching. You might not think that was touching when I'm sitting over there riding around on my mule, the four-wheeler, watching the fire department work. They were well organized. They had plenty of equipment. And the fire was completely out of control. It was a grass fire, and I've been to a few in my life. The fire department was well organized. They come in from every direction with the fire trucks. I can't and will make no attempt to tell you, the ones that's listening to this tape, how it made me feel to roll back the years back to probably about 1969 or 70. It may have been a little bit before that. I don't remember. Renee was out fighting the fire. My son-in-law that was on the tractor when the spark caught the fire was about to have a heart attack. I told him I went and got both of them. I said, let the fire department handle it. You were those toe sacks trying to fight the fire. Back up. They know what they're doing. They can handle it. First thing they handled was they saved an old antique house that's on my place that money wouldn't buy. The next thing they saved was another building, which was a shop up towards the pasture. The next thing they saved was my neighbor's pasture, which he's got cows, and he would have to depend on the grass for the winter feed. And they came from every direction. I looked at the fire trucks, and looking back to 19 and I'm going to use the year 70. It may have been a little bit before, but I'm going to use the year 70. As far as I know, did I mention my name? A year. Let me say that in case I didn't mention it. I'm Palmer Donahoe, 76 years old, born in 1932. April 27th, 1932, during the Depression. But as I sat out there in the field, away from the fire, watching the fire department work, it brought back memories that someday you folks are going to remember. If you live to be as old as I am, I saw young people out there. I saw older people out there. I saw women out there. Everybody was out there fighting the fire. Nobody ran up to me and asked me for one penny. Not one dime. I did make Renee and Vance Ballard, which is showing the fire department, my son-in-law, which is a science teacher at the North Hill School now, married my daughter Wyona, and I made them quit. Like I said, let the fire department handle it. Watch them. They know what they're doing. And so as far as jumped the fence and got in my neighbor's pasture, it was handled so I don't know what you would call it. It was like a military operation. This truck went there, that truck went there. I don't know who the chief is. I don't know who was coordinating the fire. Back in my days, we had CB radios. And the fire chief, I don't know which one it was. It was either Leonard Folsom or Jack Crocker. one of them was a fire chief, and he directed one truck come over here, or not one truck, because we only had one truck, and what to do and this and that. And we done it all by CB radios. I had a strong base station, and as we had a fire somewhere, they would call the base station, Cow Pasture Base. And if I couldn't go, I sit at the base station, and it would reach any mobile anywhere. I could talk to a mobile in Normandy, Madisonville, Bryan, didn't make no difference. And I would tell them where the fire was at, which way to go. Well, once they got in range of the other mobiles, they took it from there. So that's the way we kind of fought the fires. I was asked to put on tape, if I would, how did the North Hills Fire Department get started? Because back there before then, we didn't have a fire department. There's three of us left that I know of the old original fire department. Myself, Farmer Donahoe, Joe Wayne Kiefer, and Otis Jones. The rest of them is passed on into the under. And the reason of that is when I come to the meeting to thank y'all for what you done and make a small donation, wasn't much, but my daughter made a pretty good donation to help buy the diesel, whatever. And I know all volunteer fire departments furnish their own gas, their own diesel, their own expense. I have been there. Sometimes we can't afford it, but we do it just to be doing it, to help the neighbor. And as they say in my barn, and say the old house, probably say my own house, because the wind picked up, and one of the fire department guys told me, which I didn't know or never had thought about. I said, you know, this wind didn't pick up until this fire started. I said, it was late in the evening. He said that the fireman told me, he says, well, he says, when a fire starts, it has a tendency to suck the air to the fire, and it creates a wind. And as old as I am, and as long as I belong to the fire department, I didn't really know that. But that's what he told me. He said, that's what caused. I said, man, the wind blowing like tire. And, but you don't ever, never get too old to learn. And I had never thought about it. Whatever. But anyway, I read the letter that I was letter to the editors, that Renee Call, one that called the fire department to start with, put in the paper. I read it before the fire department. And I looked, when I walked in the meeting room, I saw young people, kids, I call them, women, an older man or two, not many old men, maybe one or two, I don't remember, but it's in the same building that we built somewhere. I'm going to have to grab about 70 again because I don't remember. But I was the instigator of building that building that you're in right now. I was chosen because I was in construction to build a support department. But let me back up a little bit. J.R. Loy built the building. Okay, what kind of started, really, I guess, was myself and Joe Wayne Keeper was on the school board. And everything that took place worked around the school. I don't know how, really, we got started, but the old tin building, where the fire department is now, was a big old tin building. Used to be a service station. Them old gas tanks are probably still out there in the front, buried. And I don't remember who the original owner was, but it was a garage and a gas station. And before I go on any further, let me go on about this building. I don't remember who was the first owner of it. I can't remember. They had two old gas pumps out front, and they had a garage. I think it was a bed key, but I don't remember for sure. I may be wrong. Maybe somebody can add to it and can remember. But the gas pumps faded away, and it turned into a garage. The first garage I remember was Maxie Waller put in a mechanic garage there, repaired automobiles and stuff. Slim White, somewhere or another, acquired the building. He married Lonnie Donahoe White, which was my great uncle's daughter. So in the meantime, Ned Donahoe, my brother, was a mechanic, and he rented the building from Slim White. Now, my brother wasn't the most dependable guy in the world, because he liked to drink a long neck once in a while, or maybe to three long necks once in a while. But that's neither here nor there. He could fix anything. And if you pulled it on with them old six-cylinder cars in there back in them days or whatever, and it was a valve knocking or a rod, he could tell you by listening what was the matter with it. So I worked with him, and we'd done fairly good as a garage. And Slim White still owned it. Well, somewhere or another, my brother, he throwed a snooze and decided he didn't want to be a mechanic no more, and the garage fell by the wayside. What caused that, if you needed one spark plug, you had to go all the way to Bryan or Madisonville to get the plug. And it just didn't work out, because what you charged the people wouldn't even pay for the gas to go after it. And that was my job, to chase parts. By the time I got, we didn't have no radio, no phone, no nothing. About the time I got to Bryan to pick up a 35 Plymouth fuel pump, somebody come in there with a 1940 Ford that needed a carburetor kit. And I'd done left the parts place, and I didn't know anything about it. When I got there, I had to turn around and go back. So that wasn't real successful. So let me see how that took place from here. Okay, that's about the old building. And so some way or another, I don't know how it happened, probably between me and Joe Wayne on the school board, I don't know how it took place. But we, as a group, some way or another, we was all good neighbors and everything. We got together and started meeting down there in that old building. I don't know, I guess maybe we was going to try to get a fire department. I don't know how it come about. But all of us was older people. And back in them days, the older people ruled the roost. The young people were out. Oh, no, you just, yeah, get out of here, kid. I don't care if you're 20 years old. But whatever. Some way or another, we started meeting down there and just started general discussions. And we was going to use that old building for a fire department. We're just going to form a fire department out of clear blue sky. Let me see if I can name some of them that helped form it. The Bedkins had a good name, good honest name. There was Tudor Bedke, Alton Bedke, a man named Mr. Sermon that was an ex-fireman out of Houston, and myself, Joe Van Keever, of course. Doggone, I'm gonna miss some of them. Jack Crocker, Leonard Folsom played a real big part in forming that fire department. Not forming it, but being a hard worker in the fire department. When we formed the fire department. Well, we all sitting around and we kind of elected officers. I don't remember, the president was Odell Kimmy. Joe Marks, Clifton Marks' daddy, played a big part in this. Because I guess he had the money. The rest of us was broke, or at least I was. But anyway. So, some way or another, we kind of began to get interested and sit around inside that old tin building, big old building. We'd sit over in the corner, probably in our old chairs, I don't remember. And we decided we would form a fire department because we didn't have one. We didn't have a dime. Some of us didn't have a dime in our pocket, much less a dime to start a fire department. I don't want to name too many names because, doggone it, if I leave out anybody, it'll hurt their family's feelings, and I don't want to do that. But a man by the name of Mr. McGinney, Possum McGinney's daddy, he would come down to the fire department meeting just to sit there, play no part, and this plays a big part later on in the story, unless I forget to finish it. So we decided, I guess, somewhere, that we would form a fire department. Didn't have a dime. Joe Wayne Keeper was the fire marshal. We elected him fire marshal. We elected Tudor Bedke as treasurer, secretary and treasurer, Odell Kimmy as president. I don't remember, y'all know your titles, I don't remember. But Jack Crocker was the fire chief, or whichever one is the big wheel over the fire, actual work of a fire department. And Leonard Folsom, I didn't know he was a hero. No, he never told nobody. He was a pilot. a fighter pilot in World War II. Very few people know that today, because Leonard never said nothing, but he always helped out in the school and everything. I admired the man, and I was at his bedside, me and Dolly Keeper, which is Joanne Keeper's wife, when Leonard died with heart problems. But anyway, neither here nor there, don't never forget Leonard Folsom. He was a hero in World War II and a fighter pilot. So let me move on. So we finally formed our officers, and so I don't know, I don't think I had a title, I think I was just me, but whatever, don't make no difference. I named the main ones. So we said, well, hey, we got a fire department setting this old big tin empty building. There wasn't a room in that thing. So we got with Slim White. He's related to me. He's dead and gone a long time ago, but that don't mean anything. Was that any influence or not? But he donated, if I remember correctly, and if I'm wrong, somebody put it in there. He donated that building to the fire department. He didn't have no use for it. And so then, okay, we got a building. He donated to the fire department. We didn't have no truck. We didn't have nothing. Not even a fire extinguisher. And if I remember correctly, we said, well, this old building ain't going to get it. So I was elected to, since I was in construction, to get some bids on buildings, tearing this thing down. It about to fall in anyway, and get a new building built. Well, my ignorance and the fire department's ignorance, we didn't think about someday, hey, we may have a truck that's 10 feet tall and where we're going to park it. So I went to a Butler. They built 10 buildings, metal buildings, and also G.R. Lloyd just had come in. So I went to R.B. Butler, told them what we needed, how much space we had, got a bid. Plumb out of reason. I went to J.R. Lloyd. He gave us a bid, which was fair. It was seemed to me like less than $10,000. I don't remember. But there's one thing that all of us didn't think about. Hey, and J.R. Lloyd should have told us. He wasn't thinking either. Someday we may get a bigger truck than a height of a regular pickup, and we're going to need a high part of a building to park a bigger fire truck in. We didn't think about that. So we said, okay, here's the bids. I presented them to the board, and we all had their chit-chat and this, all arguments and everything you can go with it. And, well, that's great, but how are we going to pay for it? Well, yeah, that is a problem. You got $10,000. I don't think it was that much, but it was close, I think, to build that building. And it wasn't very big, but anyway, how are we going to pay for it? Well, somebody suggested a fish fry. Don't remember who it was. Might have been Joe Wayne. I don't remember. Well, I'm going to do that. Okay, Joanne and I were on the school board, and we presented to the school board about that we're forming the fire department. Wasn't any of the school board a member of this fire department that we formed. Wouldn't even come to the meetings. They were immediately opposed because if the fire department come in, any revenue liable to be split up between the fire department and the school. So we had a lot of opposition on school board. And but we hung in there. So it was finally agreed that we could, whatever we had, we could use the old gym, and we came up with a fish fry, free fish fry, free. Oh, my God. It hit the fan there at the meetings. Free fish fry. How are we going to buy the fish? Suppose nobody show up. Blah, blah, blah. Just buy that. Oh, just good grief. You wouldn't believe it. But we finally got it overruled that we'd have the free fish fry. Probably Joe Marks, if I remember right, and maybe Marvin Sykes that lived at Cottonwood come up with a deal that they would buy the fish nuggets, and we'd put on a fish fry, free fish fry. Donations accepted. So we got out and we campaigned and we done everything you could think of about the free fish fry. We decided to have it on Mother's Day weekend. Not Sunday, Mother's Day Sunday, but Mother's Saturday. Mother's Day weekend on a Saturday. We said, hey, we need some music. We need something to liven the thing up to draw the people. And we got a lot of local musicians around over the country that ain't picked up their guitar in 10 years. It's still in the closet. Let's get a musical started. So on the first fish fry we had is where the Norzul's musical started, as some of y'all well remember. And it was turned out to be a complete success as well as a disaster. So we got enough people together to on Sunday, Mother's Day weekend, that we set up somebody donated a flatbed trailer, gooseneck, real long, and we set up not a band, but a musicians out there under the trees at the old ag shop. And they started playing about 10 o'clock. We had a lot of people in this community that could play, but they had nowhere to go. Well, man, hey, this thing's beginning to get out of hand. We had to go send some people after supplies and do this and that and all this noise, and people begin to come in and sit out there and listen to music before the fish fry started up at the fish fry was put in. They let us use the cafeteria to fry the fish. And the way we set it up, as they come in the old building, we had a desk set up, and we had two prominent people there. One of them was Mr. Bedke. Tudor Bedke or Alden, I don't remember. And Odell Kimmy. And as people marched by to go into the kitchen to get their fish plate, it was kind of a con thing in one sense, because they were set up where you had to walk right by them and register. Put your name down. You know, who attended. Then right down the table, there was a big old pot that said donations for the fire department accepted. Well, there was people that come by and they would register, and man, they'd chunk in. We didn't put no price, that was free. They would chunk in $10, $5, $100 or whatever, because it's for the fire department. And they'd go through and get their fish plate and usually carry it back down there and sit there and listen to music. The music just going in a whatever, and musicians would swap it up and go up and get their plate of fish. And I can't believe even today how we put it together and how it worked out. It was the musicians that done it. And the volunteers that fried the fish, and you didn't wait and eat cold fish. You walk by the fish, of course fish don't take but 2-3 minutes to get done, and you got hot fish. You were just made perfectly welcome. We thanked you for coming. Some people sit in the cafeteria and eat. Some people got their plate and went back down to the and listened to music. It was an absolute, total success. And we took in all kinds of money. I don't remember how much. But we had an absolute, honest doggone it, the one that keeps account of the money. Mr. Bedke. Now, honest as the day is long. Everything was logged in, donations, after it was all counted. And we paid for our fish. We paid for the plates. We paid for all our expenses. And we come out with bukus of money ahead. Just bukus of money. So, man, hey, that's great. So, 5 people, we had the next meeting, 5 people, Mr. Bedke, Odell Kimmy, Marks, Mr. Sherman. I had a good name myself, but I wasn't on the ticket to borrow the money to build a building. But we saw that we could be a success. So, and they signed the note, these 5 people. Tomorrow, I think it was somewhere around $10,000 to build a building. We tore the old building down, built a new one. We did not build one part of it high. That was not only my mistake as being the head of the building committee, but it was all of us. We just didn't think that someday we're gonna have a big truck and we're gonna need somewhere to park it. So this musical thing, hey, that was such a success. So Joanne and I, being on the school board, we just said, hey, we'd like to use the old gym and have what you call a musical. It was agreed upon with the school that the Bulldog Inn that sold the hamburgers and whatever would have anything they made out of that, and the fire department could have their musicians up on stage And any donations, any cake auctions, which we wound up running on the ground, it got plumb embarrassing, would go to the fire department. And if there's anybody old enough that's listening that remembers that, it started off real small. Mr. Marks and Mr. Sykes was in charge of the music hall. There'd be people come from all over to get a chance to play. And all the eats and drinks went to the school. Any donations, when they passed a hat inside of the gym, would go to the fire department. And then the cake auctions, which they did run in the ground. That got plumb embarrassing, but anyway, hey, this is working out great. So we paid for the building. It didn't take long to pay for the building. And the musical was the key, because people didn't have nowhere to go. We had a lot of old people, and they would go on Saturday night, I guess once a month, and they would listen to the musical, and they supported the fire department, because we saved a Minya hay barn, a Minya grass fire, just by fighting them with tow sacks. But we made a deal. Let's go back again. That's on the school, Joe right now on the school board. The school board and the Mr. Todd, I guess, was the superintendent, agreed to, if we had a grass fire anywhere, had a fire anywhere, that if the siren went off, well, they would release the kids and they would go help fight the fire, because they done, well, so men can do anything. Hell, the kids fought the fire with grass sacks and whatever, but it gave them an excuse to get out of school. Okay, so let me see where we go from there. All right, so we had the music on. Okay, we got our building built. So there we sat with this building that y'all sitting in today, except the back end of it that was added on somewhere or another as a kind of a community center. I don't know who done that. But we're sitting there now with the building. Musical going along pretty smooth. We're making money because the musicians didn't charge anything to come up and play, because they were eager to come and play. Well, it began to get out of hand. Mr. Marks was scheduling who sang next, and doggone it, got where, hell, it was 2 o'clock in the morning, they were still singing, because we just... too many singers. And up at New Baden, they was having the same thing. So that was a complete success until it just outgrew itself, got where you could handle it. But somewhere in the meantime of 73 or 74, I guess, I got sick and had to drop out. And so, okay, doggone it, we got a building. We got a little bit of money in the bank account. The building's paid for. But we don't have no fire truck. So Jack Crocker worked for Stanley Motors, which is a Dodge and Plymouth dealer in Madisonville. He worked as a mechanic. So, y'all all remember the old 73 Dodge, I guess. I believe it was a 73. he made arrangements to for the truck. We made arrangements to get it equipped out. The only thing is the Pony engine that run the pump, water pump, we wanted an electric starter on it, but we didn't get it, couldn't get it, something, so we had to use the old rope starter. But, man, that was something else. Jack Crocker directed the fire. They answered the fire alarm. It just tumbled because people, but going back to the fish fry, the day we had the fish fry, we were sitting in there and we decided, what about these old people? It's not going to come and be able to come or won't come or can't come to the free fish fry. So each one, like a spider web that lived in a different direction, named off all the old people that they could think of that probably wouldn't come or couldn't come, and we would deliver the plate of fish to those people. Now, how are we going to do that? Well, my daughters began to get up where they could drive, and there's other kids and whatever. So we got the kids. We give them names of old people that in each direction that probably couldn't come, and they would deliver a plate of fish to those people because each one of us knew how many was in there, and they carried extra plates anyway. And it tickled them kids to death. They got to drive the car to go deliver the fish. So each one went out in a spiderweb direction, and it was heartbreaking. If you talk to the kids and they say, knocked on the door, and some old woman come to the door, or some old man hobbled to the door, or however it might be. And these kids now, they were having a ball because they were getting to drive the cars to deliver the fish. They would knock on the door and say, hey, fire department had a free fish fry and they sent you up y'all a plate. They'd always have extra plates of fish in there in case there were more people, but whatever. And you know the stories that they told me, Mom? Since I'm old, I can understand what my kids told me. They would knock on the door, and young kids, pretty boys, girls, whatever, and knock on the doors, and what is this? The fire department sends you a plate of fish. They're having a free fish fry, and they were afraid you couldn't come, and we're here to bring you the fish plate. Well, the kids, we told them, don't take no donations, except they just chunked it down them. Just tell them, well, if y'all want to donate something, just mail it to the North Coast Fire Department if you want to donate something. And it was so heartbreaking of what those kids told us, of how those old people reacted. They couldn't imagine that the fire department would do that, because we didn't have no fire department. We just started. Well, it wasn't long till we went to getting money in through the mail from these old people. this and that, and we couldn't even believe it ourselves. Mr. Bedke was a treasurer, and just as honest as a day is long. And when we held a meeting, he would read the checks off from so-and-so, and you wouldn't believe. My God, we building up money here. Maybe we can afford this truck. So that's where Jack Crocker picked out the truck. It's a one-ton Dodge, 73 model, if I remember correctly, 318 Dodge engine. He put a 100-amp alternator on it, CB radio, red lights. He done all that, him and Leonard Folsom. We put the water tank on it. We put the Pony engine on it, or had it done. I don't remember how we had it done, but anyway, we got it all done, and man, we were ready for the fire. Well, the fire truck couldn't do too much because we could only haul so many gallons of water, I don't remember. But the kids done most of the work, but we would take the truck and maybe save the barn while the kids were fighting the fire out in the field. But anyway, we got us a fire truck. And thanks to Jack Crocker, Leonard Folsom, his kids are still living around there. And not only that, but many others that I can't name won't attempt to because I don't want to leave nobody out. Everybody in the community went to looking at the fire department. Hey, man, they say my barn, they say my hay. They say my grass. If it got burned off like it usually does, I wouldn't have no grass for the winter. And so we got doing pretty good. The musical is what brought our kept our money going in. Well, every year we had the free fish fry. And like I say, some way or another, somewhere in 74 probably, yeah, 74, 75, I got real sick. And I had to drop out. And, but we had all older people in there. We didn't have young people like you have today. And, so we got our charter. Mr. Sermon helped us get our charter. He'd come up about a sewer and a water system. Oh, you can't get one. Oh, no. Well, Senator Bull Moore out of Bryan. I knew him because of the company business I had done with his son. He was a big wheel in Austin, Senator, I suppose, Senator Bill Moore. Bull Moore, they called him, because he's a bull of the woods. We all contacted him. Well, yes, you're not incorporated, but I'd get you a grant. So Mr. Sermon and some of the other more intelligent people than I am got together, and we each individually called Mr. Moore. At 2:00 in the afternoon, he started returning calls. That was his daily routine. We got the water department put in. We got the sewer system grant. Now, here comes the next problem. Okay, you got a water department, you got a grant for the water department, like a spider web, each one went out in their direction and got easements to run this water line out down the county roads, to run water. Because what kept the growth of the community from growing was because people didn't have no water They'd have to drill them a $5,000 water well before they ever started, and a lot of people couldn't afford it. But we would run on to some that wouldn't let us run water down 10 feet over in their pasture, so the county gave us permission to run the water line, and you'll see today in places there's water lines that run in the county road. But those people, most of them didn't live here. But 99% let us run, give us an easement, and each one in their spider web in your direction. I work Mundick Road, all back this direction, and got our water. Once we got water, we went to building up. So we appointed the original members of the water department. Doggone, I can't remember who they were. One of them was Noe Cryer. We tried to get some that wasn't on the... one was David Reed. We tried to get some that wasn't in the fire department, but that was prominent citizens. And I can't remember the rest of them. I'm sorry. It may be some record somewhere. But it wound up that I was bitterly opposed to and fought it tooth and nail, myself and some others, but there wasn't nothing to do about it. We had to draw off the city limits was already drawn off. All we had to do is get the legal work done. And the only ones that could vote in the water department was the one that lived in the city limits. I was bitterly opposed because I feel if you was out in the country and paying your water bill, you ought to have voting rights. But it worked out. I don't know whether it was the state, the grant, how it voted, whatever, but there was three or four of us that fought that tooth and nail. And I still feel that way. If you're out here in the country, you should have voting rights on the water board, but it didn't work that way. And it wasn't some of us' fault. And let me see. Where am I at? Well, one thing is it's 5 minutes after 12 midnight, so that's one thing. But another thing, I was so proud to go to the meeting and read y'all a letter that I was sending to the letter Renee drawed up for me, a letter to the editor about what the fire department had done. The last barbecue you had out there, I think you got one of the best, I'm trying to think of one of them's name, but I know Clifton Marks. I'm trying to remember the other one. Anyway, you got some of the best barbecuers in the country, and one of them's Clifton Marks. And we bought our family, this ain't much, and I'm not bragging, but we try to support the fire department. We bought 12 plates. One of the kids did, I don't remember, I think it was Wilna and Vance. Bought all our families 12 plates. A barbecue. Wonderful barbecue. Beautiful. And I don't know how the free fish fry fell by the wayside. I don't remember. But we made more money by donations. The free fish fry, I don't know, y'all made quite a bit on your barbecue, but there's a lot of people that never donated from Houston. We had it on Mother's Day weekend, they'd come up, they'd drop in $20. Some of them write in a check for $100 because they'd never supported the fire department. But we got, I looked at the trucks that you got. I thought, my God, that old 53 Dodge Well, it wasn't a 53, it was brand new. And I was so proud of the fire department and what y'all are doing. I don't know whether you got any money. I don't know nothing because it's out of my league. I'm too old. I backed up a long time ago and let other people. I dropped off the school board because it just. I think I spent 3 terms, 9 years. You know, it's time to get some fresh people in there. So y'all hang in there, and I may add something to this tape, but I was asked to put something down on how the fire department was originated, and that's kind of semi the way it started. Started from nothing, not one dime, until where you're at today. And I see that you're preparing to build a new building. Just remember, build it high enough for some of your new trucks. And the people has always supported the fire department. We never had a problem collecting money. And it did take away from the school activities, and we had some great opposition when we decided, hey, we moved on here, musicals going over, and this here, I'm going to have to take credit for it. I said, look, school board. I said, I had, Joe Wayne had got me hitched up with the booking agent for different bands. He's out of Rockville. And I said, look, I met with the booking agent, and I said, who all are you representing? Who all do you? He named over Ernest Tubb, was one of them, Roy Acuff, Loretta Lynn. I don't remember who he booked for. So I brought that up. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord. We had a falling out at the fire department down there. Tooth and nail. Ernest Tubb, we could get him on an oddball night, and it happened to be on a Wednesday night for $1,000. We just had the new gym built, and I'm sorry to say, but we had one on the school board that was totally against it, having Ernest Tubb. Then I'm sorry to say, I belong to the First Baptist Church. Oh, my God, Ernest Tubb, he drinks. He drinks. Isn't that a joke? So, we wanted to have Ernest Tubb. We could get him for $1,000. The booking agent said, I will go myself, and I will sign up like a front page because First National Bank in Madisonville, $100. And next one was and we all got out and sold ads and for the little booklet. Some of us $25. I put one in there myself. I was Donahoe Painting. I put one in there for $50. And that's where he got his money. Okay, now, we got Ernest Tubb booked for a Wednesday night. War with the church. I said, here's what I said, and I will say it today. Oh, my God, we're going to have prayer meetings. Okay, I guess it's recorded. I had to flip the tape. Oh, my God. Mess it up. I said, look, we don't tell Ernest Tubb when he can come, what day he can be at Norris Old's. His booking agent tells us. So we compromised. We said, okay, we will delay Ernest Tubb's show in 30 minutes or an hour, whatever it was. Y'all start your prayer meeting early, and then everything will work out fine. The people that go to church can hear Ernest Tubb, because Ernest Tubb don't come to Norris. Oh, my God, he probably won't come anyway. Never heard such a thing. And it was a complete war, even within side of the fire department. I'm not going to name the ones that were so bitterly opposed, but they were. And I said, look, if you're that close to going to hell that you can't miss one night a prayer meeting that it don't amount to nothing no way, because I go and it's just really nothing, I said, you're going to hell anyway. That ain't going to save you. Oh, well, my God, it was war. I ain't lying. Oh, we hung in there. So we compromised. We got with Ernest Tubbs, a booking agent, and said, okay, book them 30 minutes later. We asked the church, said, okay, is that all right? The whoever's in the fire department was deacons and all that. Well, find a compromise. Ernest Tubb would start, well, he ain't going to come no way. I ain't never heard Ernest Tubb coming to Norzo's. Blah, blah, blah. Well, we done selling tickets, and we sold ads, and we sold everything else, and I began to wonder, hey, we had the new gym. Well, they were selling, so, oh, my God, people, well, we set up all these chairs, and they're going to skin up the floor in the gym. Okay, we compromised, and so we got with A&M College. They had enough plastic that we completely covered up the floor with plastic, masking taped it off with gray tape, and we borrowed every chair that we could borrow, plus A&M College, which, thank God, they helped us. Didn't charge us nothing. And we had people going to the A&M, I hauled in plastic, and we had trucks going in to haul in chairs, and we done everything you could think of. We got it, all the chairs completely full. Well, sure enough, just before dark, we're standing down there, here comes a big old bus. Big old Class A bus. Ernest Tubb. Okay, so they whipped in there, and they finally, whatever, the leading part of the Ernest Tubb come in, the band come in, and they sang and whatever, and my God, the building filled up. It was $5 a ticket. And my God, the building filled up. Even though later on people told me, said, the reason we didn't come, we didn't think Ernest Tubb would come to Norris Oates. So, anyway, the church did let out 30 minutes early, and we actually got run over, people running, coming from the church down to the gym to get a seat to hear Ernest Tubb. This is God's truth. Because it's all old people. Old people. That was the singers in those days. So, to go on, we all got it set up and whatever, and course, make Ernest to put on the show, and he's sung his first song, and he announced himself. He said, "Now look, when the show's over, don't nobody worry about leaving. I'm going to sit here until I sign every autograph that you won't sign. I'll be here till the last one leaves." And I heard this later about what Ernest have done to other shows. Well, the only thing on you, he did. After the show was over, he put in about 2 hours and just one song right after another. And one song that he sang, just so I can think of the name of the song, that fit Norris Old so well until it just thrilled the hell out of me. It was what's the name of that song? Harper Valley PTA. Some of them sang that. And that just, I mean, it hit Norris Ulls like a glove. But he put on a good show. Stayed there. It was about 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning before he signed the last photograph. Autograph. But there's one lady in there. She was Marie Stark. Her kids still live around there. One of them's Rusty, and I can't think of the others. She had a book. A little old pamphlet, and she walked up there in Ernest Tubbs signing autographs, and she walked up when it come her time, and she says, "Mr. Tubbs, do you remember this?" Excuse me. "Oh, yeah," he says, "I remember signing this." So she said, "This is in a little old beer joint. I don't remember the name of it. Down in South Houston, back in, I don't know, 40s or somewhere." And he re-signed it. But he announced, he said, "Hey, this ain't the first time I was at Norris Ulls." He says, "I come through here in the 30s. With what they call a drummer." It was a salesman for Gladiola Flyer. I think it was Gladiola. Might have been another, and I don't remember. He said, "I rode with a salesman, and where I got started, I would sit on the tailgate while the salesman was in taking orders for Flyer, and I would sing. I was here in 19 and it might have been 40. I don't remember what date it was. It don't make no difference. But he said, "I've been to Norris Ulls before." Okay, let's move along. That was a total success. We made, after everything, but before then, oh my God, what if we go in the hole? What if we can't sell no tickets? That's down the fire department. Oh my God. Said, "Look, my argument was this. We don't have to make any money. The people are buying their own tickets. We don't have to make any money. Let's put on something for the people. They've supported us. Let's put on something for the people." Okay. We made about $250, if I remember correctly. But we made a little money, but I didn't care whether we made any money or not. The people supported the fire department, put on a show for them. Who in the hell else is going to get Ernest Tubb coming to Norris Ulls? So, back to the broker, the booking agent. I said, "Who else you got you think we can afford?" He said, "Well, I can get Roy Acuff. It's going to be on the oddball night because weekends are pretty high, and I can schedule him coming through here on a weeknight and for $1,200. Okay, back to the drawing board. So went through the rigmarole again. Same booklet, same advertisement, all this noise. But we had more people at Roy Acuff than we did Ernest Tubb, because people began, hey, I didn't figure Ernest Tubb was coming, but since you got Ernest Tubb, we knew Roy Acuff would come. Same thing, cover up the gym floor with plastic, masking tape, blah, blah. Okay. So we made it out fine, come out fine, made a little money on Roy Acuff. He put on a good show, him and Brother Oswald and his band. And so, okay, that was for the community. Everybody, I mean, old people, they come and, hey, see him in person. Where in the hell are you going to go? Nashville? They couldn't afford to go to Nashville. We had it right there in North Hills. And so, okay. Now, I'm still working. And Joe Wayne, I think, was the one that was working with him. We go with the booking agent. We said, okay, Loretta Lynn is real popular. What would it cost us? Now, we could only seat so many people in that gym, and it was absolutely packed. You couldn't get in either show. What would Loretta Lynn cost us? She was top dog. He said, she'll cost $10,000. $10,000? Oh, God, man. Well, let's set the goal to get Loretta Lynn, and some way or another, we're going to have to put in some money before we have her to be able to pay her, because we'd only made, time we paid the broker, the booker, he was the main one that cost us. He wasn't really a Roy Acuff or Ernest Tubb. So we set the goal for Loretta Lynn to be next, because we knew people wasn't going to believe that. And we had plenty of free advertisement, because you mentioned the fire department, everybody throws in. They'll even do that today. And but somewhere or another, as we began to set this up, I got sick. And I was sick for about a year with everything, all combat related. And I kind of fell out of it. I'm sorry. But we were going to have Loretta Lynn for $10,000. And when we mentioned that at the party department, oh my God, they had a heart attack. But I just wished I would have been able to carry it. I would have carried that on. And we would have had Loretta Lynn for $10,000. That's a lot of money, but we could have raised it. Because people were whole hog fire department. While the school was just dragging feet with the same old thing, we were doing something different. We having our musical down at the gym once a month. We were doing this, we were doing that. We were giving people for the money that they donated. And we sent out envelopes to addresses that people had registered to come to the fish fry. That yearly donations, if you feel like it, donate to the fire department. We'd get checks back in the mail, you wouldn't believe. We'd send out letters, because they had their names, all we had to do was get their addresses. And the kids helped out a lot, but back in them days, the old men run it. And women was, my God, a woman fire person? Oh, no. But anyway, in closing, I've called the fire department twice since 1970. One here recently that saved my world in this part of the world. I wouldn't have been fined because it was an accident. A spark from the tractor started the fire. We made a nice donation to the fire department. Didn't pay for nothing, I know that. But let me get off this thing, and I don't know whether I'll add anything to it or not, but it's been a pleasure to have the opportunity to tell you how the fire department originally started. I probably forgot a lot of it, but I might remember later. If I do, I still got enough tape on this other side here to put it down. So, folks, this is Farmer Donahoe signing off. I thank you. The community thanks you. And we appreciate what you folks are doing. And God bless you all. And it's so sad that I'm one of them old men that when we used to fight fires and save his barn, and he's sitting out there hobbling around, unable to do anything, and we saving his winter grass. Today, I'm not an old man. But I never thought back in the 70s that I would have been that old man. But I am today. And I thank you dearly. And as you put on your fish fries and barbecues, which I see you got one coming up, I'm assure you we will support you. Thank you and good night. God bless you. Bye-bye.